For us to be alive, the Lord has blessed us beyond measure, and I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. Good to be in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. God has spared us one more time to have this opportunity of dining at his table, drinking of his word, his water. And certainly he said that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. Amen. I'm glad of such an awesome promise, and God is faithful in keeping his word. Amen. Amen. I want you to take out your devices again. I want us to make that our practice. We take out our devices and share the word of God with somebody who's near and dear us. Amen. If it's good for us, it's good for them. Amen. And while you're doing that, let's go to Psalms 25. Psalms 25. That we be prepared to receive of the Lord. Amen. Psalms 25. Sentences 1 through 5. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. That's our prayer that prepare us for what God is getting ready to do with us and for us and even through us. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Yo, come on in. Amen. Matthew chapter 26. Beginning with verse 17. And we will read to verse 30. Verses 17 through 30. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, wherewith thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with his disciples, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been better or good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word of God is blessed. We're talking about the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper. The Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper. The Last Supper is the final meal that Jesus shared with his disciples pre-crucifixion, prior crucifixion, recorded in the gospel accounts. For he said, I have need that I eat with you, I drink with you before I suffer. The need is that he wanted to make them known. He wanted to reveal unto them the New Testament, the New Covenant that would be instituted in his blood. For they, as Hebrews or Jews, would no longer have to come with an offering, with an animal to sacrifice to atone for their sins. That his sacrificial work on Calvary would be a once and for all atonement for their sins. He wanted to make it clear of his work, of his sacrifice, what was really happening, or what would really happen when he went to Calvary and died the gruesome death of by way of crucifixion on Calvary. Matthew chapter 26 draws Jesus closer to his crucifixion. His public teaching ministry has ended, and the religious leaders are plotting his death. At the time, Jerusalem is full of people, of Jews who have traveled to celebrate Passover. That Passover is a Jewish festival which remembers the escape of the ancient Israelites from Egyptian slavery. It is in Matthew 26 that Jesus connects his death with the Passover. That the Passover is really not the feast, but it's the Lamb. That he reveals himself as the Passover. So it is not with mere day and time, but the significance of Passover regarding our salvation. That we are not saved by way of a day, celebrating a day. We're not saved by the offerings of just any lamb. We are saved only through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. He reveals himself to the disciples as the Passover, the Lamb. Not the celebration of a festival, a feast, but as a way of showing them that he is the only one who takes away the sins of the world. At the original Passover, during the plagues of Egypt, during the time when the Israelites were enslaved by Pharaoh, a lamb was sacrificed in each Israelite household to save the people, according to Exodus chapter 11 and 12. But Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb slain to save people from sin. He was the sacrificial lamb slain to save people from sin. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." Notice, he was not sacrificed for himself. He was sacrificed for us. His death did not benefit him. His death only benefited us. Because Paul even said that he knew no sin, but he became sin that we might be the righteousness of God. So he is the Passover. And he was slain or sacrificed for us. Jesus was tasked to die before he was ever born. It was not an afterthought that God did not come up with the plan after Adam sinned. It was God's plan from the very foundation of the world. In other words, before God called anything into existence, before God created anything, God had it settled in heaven among the Godhead that Jesus Christ would be the Lamb of God. And so it was not an accident. It was the determinate plan of God, by the determinate counsel of God, that Jesus went to Calvary. He's the Lamb. Now understand that the religious leaders were plotting and planning the death of Jesus. And while they were plotting and planning the death of Jesus, Jesus was in Bethany where Mary was anointing his body. The text says that she anointed his head. But we are told by the other gospel writers that she not only anointed his head, she anointed his feet. And Jesus said that the reason she was anointing him was for his burial. That he had prior knowledge. He was omniscient of what was about to happen to him. So they were plotting in a private place in Caiaphas' house. And they were discussing ways to murder him. And Judas agreed with the religious leaders to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver for picnic money. He sold himself out for cheap. And let me pause to say that that happens. That regardless of what the amount is, it's cheap when it comes to your salvation, your soul. That they can be offering you thousands of dollars, but it's cheap in comparison to the value of your soul. That he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. While they were plotting and planning, Mary took an alabaster flask, broke it, and poured it on his head and poured it on his feet, anointing him with expensive oil. Some say that, you know, that oil was worth 300 days of labor for a common laborer. It was an expensive bottle of oil. So expensive that the disciples began to bicker and complain about what could have been done with that money. You know, there's always somebody that has a side idea. You know, when it comes to Jesus, you know, everybody is not with the program. Even if Jesus is the centerpiece, if Jesus is the reason, some folks are not with the program. And here it is, his own disciples began to murmur and complain about what they could have done with that expensive oil if it had been taken and sold, that they could have given it to the poor. Now, you know they didn't have right intentions, because when Jesus went to feed the 5,000, he asked how much money you have. And they had about 200 penny worth. And one of the disciples said, "Then, what is that among so many?" Well, you know, when you have the intentions of doing good, you know, you do what you can with what you have. But to show that they had ill intentions, they only spoke in terms of deficit, that they didn't have enough. You know, when people want to get out of something, they don't ever have enough. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You know, when they really don't want to do, they don't have enough. So here it is, it said, well, we could have sold this oil and gathered the money and really done a major something for the poor. And Jesus, he comes to this woman's defense. He comes to Mary's defense and said, the poor will be with you always. You know what they're saying? That there will always be poor people in the world. You know, the poor will be with you always, but I will not always be with you. Now, he's not talking about being with them, being with us spiritually. He's talking about being with them, being with us bodily, physically. Amen. That you won't always have my physical presence. I'm going away. I'm going back to the Father. And all you will have is my word and my spirit. Hallelujah for that. That he left us with something and somebody. He left us with his word. He left us with his Holy Spirit. So we are not comfortless. We got holy company. Talk to me, somebody. And that's where the old folk would say, he walks with me. And he talks with me. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Here it is. In verses 17 through 30. That we move from Bethany. And Jesus gives his disciples, two in particular, orders to prepare for them the Passover. Now notice three things we should note from verses 17 to 30 concerning the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. Jesus' instructions, Jesus' indictment, and Jesus' instituting of the Lord's Supper. Now I want you to hear that again. We see, number one, Jesus' instructions. Number two, Jesus' indictment. Number three, Jesus is instituting of the Lord's Supper. Notice the instructions first in verses 17 through 19. It says in verses 17 through 19, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master said, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And here it is, the last. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." So he gave them instructions. Hear me. In all that we are to do for the Lord, we are to do it by the instructions of the Lord. He doesn't allow us to take anything into our own hands, any ministry, any movement into our own hands. All that we are to do for the Lord, we are to do it according to his instructions. That's why Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him," and he will what? Direct. He will give you instructions. See, the moment you think you got it down pat, you got it figured out, you began to fail. I don't care how simple or how complex, the moment you think you got it figured out and you don't need to consult God, you don't need to consult Christ for your next move, you begin to fail. You begin to flunk. You begin to falter. Because everything we do, whether it's simple or complex, we are to do it according to the instructions of God. Hear me. Now, when you do it according to the instructions of God, you are guaranteed to succeed. Did y'all get it? When you do it according to the instructions of God, you will receive the outcome. What the Lord said will happen. The results that he promises in his word. That's what he said to Joshua. In Joshua 1. He says, don't lean from it to the right or the left, but be careful to observe all that is written therein. When you are careful to observe the instructions of God, he says, then you shall have good success. Then you shall prosper. So you don't have to try to, you know, present yourself as being smart and knowing it all. All you need to know is the instructions of God. Now, don't do like most people do when they buy something that requires instructions to put together. You know how it is. You get the instructions, you throw the instructions to the side, and you say, well, I got this. And by the time you get through assembling what you're supposed to be assembling and all of that, you have some screws left. And you have some, you know, pieces out of place. And it'd be kind of unsteady and shaky because you threw aside the instructions. And you know, and you know, you got to go back to fix it right. You got to go back and get the instructions and read the instructions. But here it is, you have caused yourself some extra work because you got to disassemble what you assembled without instructions. See, they couldn't just go into the city and do whatever they wanted to do in terms of preparing for Jesus and the disciples the Passover. He gave them instructions. Notice what he did. Notice what he said. Now, he told them to go in, and there would be a man in the city with a water bottle. They would be able to identify the man by what he had in his hand. Now, understand that the preparations were numerous. A room had to be found, swept, and carefully cleansed from all or every particle of leaven. Tables and couches had to be arranged, lights supplied, and the lamb and all other things necessary, as such as bread and wine and bitter herbs provided. And then the preparing for the Passover was a major task. So notice what he did. He told him to go in and prepare a place. Now, in preparing a place, he commanded two of his disciples, Peter and John, to go into Jerusalem to a certain man and say to him, "The master said." Now, they could not go with their own word. They had to go and say what the Lord commanded them to say, wanted them to say, appointed them to say. They said, "The master said, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." And Jesus, in telling them who to talk to and what to say to the man that they were to talk to, did not mention the man's name, nor did he mention the place. There's a reason, because notice Judas is a part of the crowd, and he didn't want Judas to ambush. See, when you're telling your plans, you don't have to tell every detail. See, some people talk too much and they tell too much. And before they can get anything up off the ground, it's sabotage because you have given all the detail. Oh, so he doesn't say the man's name. He doesn't say the place, because he knew Judas was listening. So the place for the observance of the Passover was held secret. And some theologians believe Jesus was secretive because he knew Judas made a deal with the chief priests. So they prepared a place, a certain man's house. That's all we know. We don't have to try to figure out who the certain man is. We just know it's a certain man's house, a certain place. But then notice the preparation for the Passover. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was closely related to Passover. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread began with the Passover meal and lasted 7 days. So Passover was often referred to as the first day of unleavened bread. Both were instituted at the same time, and both were memorable observances of the Exodus from Exodus. Passover particularly focusing on escape from the last plague, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the haste in which they left Egypt so fast that there was no time for the bread to rise. So the meal started with a cup of red wine mixed with double portion of water. And then there would be prayer of thanksgiving. And along with the prayer of thanksgiving, you know, the host would ceremonially wash his hands to serve the guests, hashereth. And here it is, he would serve, but here most theologians believe this is where Jesus took his cloak off and girded his loins and washed his disciples' feet. It was a time of humility. Humility. Hashereth, a mixture of bitter herbs, ground raisins, dates and nuts and apples. Hashereth served as a reminder of the mud they had to use to make bricks. So it was a constant reminding them of the harshness of Egypt and how God delivered them out of Egypt. So verse 21 helps us, because verse 21 says, and as they did eat. So there was eating happening before Jesus took the bread and ate, blessed and break it, and ate with his disciples. And before he took the cup and offered the cup as a symbol of the New Testament in his blood. Notice what it said again. And as they did eat. So they were eating. They were eating this hashereth that was served as a reminder. They were eating. But now watch this. Not only do you see his instructions, while they were eating, you see the indictment. The indictment in verses 20 through 25. There's an indictment because of betrayal. Now, let us look at verses 20 through 25. Now, when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they were eating, or did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. There's an indictment. Now here it is. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Several things. Notice the betrayal. Jesus announced that one of his 12 disciples, one of the 12 apostles, will betray him. And he shows his knowledge of the coming treachery. Notice how often he talked about, you know, being betrayed in Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. Now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. Matthew 20, verse 18. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Matthew 26, verse 2. You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Jesus spoke vaguely of his betrayal. He knew it. He had omniscience. He was all knowing, and he knew what was ahead. But then notice verse 22. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? They put themselves in the way of what Jesus said. One of you will betray me. And every one of his disciples said unto him, is it I? Now, one writer said it is remarkable that the real character of Judas had never been discovered by the fellow disciples who for 3 years had mixed and mingled with him in close companionship. See, you don't know who you think you know. See, Satan can use people closest to you. Let me just kind of give you a record. I mean, you wouldn't have never thought, as religious as Job was, that Job, after he lost everything and Satan spared his wife, that his wife would come and say to him, why don't you curse God and die? See, it's not always distant people who talk crazy. It's not always distant people who tries to convince you against God. Sometimes it's the closest people to you. In the text, it's Judas, one of the 12. And here it is, the other 11 disciples didn't have an inkling that it was Judas. And they had been mixed and mingled with Judas for 3 years. You don't know who you think you know.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you this. You can have a good person with a weak will that cause much havoc in your life. You know, good people that are real nice. You know, nice to everybody. And if they mess around and get with the wrong crowd, because they want to fit in with everybody, they get with the wrong crowd and the subject, your name come up as the subject. Because their will is weak, they will talk along with the people that's talking about you. See, weak-willed people can be good people, but they don't have any resistance. They just go along to get along. Let me give you another one. Needy people are dangerous. You know, they're just trying to figure out where they're going to get their next, you know, need met. And because they're in such a crunch and in a jam, you know, they'll sell themselves out to the highest bidder. Judas focus on money all the time. And you know, he had a problem with this and problem with that. And so he sold himself out for 30 pieces of silver. Listen, people will mistreat you over the smallest of things. They'll mistreat you over a cheap satisfaction. They'll get you. We see it happened to Jesus. 30 pieces of silver. But now notice the indictment. Jesus says, I'm going to die. That's what he's saying. As it is written, I'm going to die. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And he attaches, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. That's some type of word of judgment. That's some type of judgment levied against his life. That I'm going to die. But it's going to be worse for the one who caused my death than it would be for me to die. Because he came to earth to die. So we see the indictment. We know it was Judas. But here's the last thing. Jesus, he takes this Last Supper, this Passover festival meal, and he instituted this new covenant. The new covenant, he gave it meaning, more in-depth meaning, more significance. That is more than just eating bread and drinking wine. That there's in-depth meaning. Here it is in verses 26 through 30. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Two things. He took bread. Unleavened bread. It was baked flat and crisp. It was like a cracker. And Jesus took it, blessed it, and broke it. He broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples. He offered a prayer of thanksgiving and then passed the pieces to his disciples. Then he said, "Take, eat, this is my body. This is my body. This is my body." Unleavened bread. It was a symbol of separation. That eating the bread, the unleavened bread, was a sign of being separated from the bondage of sin slavery. Because in the Passover, the people of God were separated from pagans and oppression in Egypt and brought into the promised land to live holy and godly. So there was a separation. So when they took the bread, as we take it on Sunday, it is a sign of our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That we are no longer under the dictatorship, under the rulership of the world, under the rulership of Satan. Amen. That we have been separated from sin slavery and made free to live a life of holiness. In a life of godliness. That's why he took the bread. And so as we take it on Sundays, first Sundays, know that you have been cut away. That's why unsaved people are not supposed to take it. Because they have not been separated or cut away yet. So that's the bread. But then he took the cup, which had wine in it. And the wine was a symbol of his blood. The blood of Christ is significant in three ways. First of all, The blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus, ratified the covenant. There was an old covenant, and he says new covenant. It ratified the covenant of the Old Testament. The vow between people was sealed with blood from animals, but the animals would be cut in half, and the people making the covenant would walk between the two halves, and they would walk between the two halves to say that if I break the covenant, let happen to me what has happened to the animal. They knew that God was stricken his judgment and vows were not to be broken. That's why Ecclesiastes 5 says don't make a vow that you don't intend to fulfill. That's foolish. Don't cause your flesh to suffer by what you allow your mouth to say. So they fixed their covenant, their vows, with an animal. But then notice Jesus in the New Testament. He ratified the covenant. Salvation is by faith in him, and the Holy Spirit aids us in living a life of holiness. So it's in him. It's in him. It's in him. Not between two halves of an animal, but is in him. And in him, we become truthful people that live up to our covenants, that live up to what we say. That's why Jesus said in the New Testament, in Matthew, he says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. That you live up to the vows that you make. Because you are in him. Here's the last thing. The blood of Jesus delivers us from sin's judgment. Sin had to be paid for. Sin had to be paid for. Jesus, the Lamb of God, shed his blood to take away our sin and sin debts. For the wages of sin is death, but, now that's a holy but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Amen. Any questions? Well, I don't know. You know, I guess at times you want to think well of people. And sometimes you have it fixed in your own heart and in your own mind that there's no way it's this person. This is a man that had been with them for 3 years. And he had received the same teaching. And I guess, you know, if I would have to take a stab at it, I would say that they wanted to think well of him. You know, and sometimes we do that. And that's why, you know, when people do certain things, we are so taken by it. You know, we are so surprised and shocked. How in the world did that happen? You know, and it just goes on and on. You know, you see people in relationship, and one of the persons in the relationship murder the other. And you'd be like, my God, what happened? Why did they do that? And I think that's the kind of response that the other disciples had is, what, really? You know, and it shows also that all of them had the propensity of betraying him. because betrayal is not the only thing that happened against him. You had denial. You know, they forsook him. So I guess, you know, that's what it was. They were literally shocked. Nothing else claimed our attention. All right. Let us stand. Create our circle. Let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus lead you. Let Jesus lead you all
the way,
all
the way
from earth. Let Jesus lead you all the way. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good
leader.
All
the way.
All the way. Let Jesus lead you all the way. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader.
He's a mighty